the 41st Lauren and Fritz podcast.
41 Lauren and Fritz podcast. I can't believe it. No, I can believe it because we've been sticking with it.
I can believe it because last one was 40, so yes, naturally 41 would be next in the progression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm just really thrilled to be back in the same room with you.
It is amazing. It is well, thanks to the luxuries and the miracles of Skype, it's like you're living in my living room almost once a week.
Yes.
But now it's a little bit more physical.
It is a little bit more physical. And adding to the physicality of this podcast, we also have McCarty back.
McCarty!
Yeah.
Which was demanded by listeners. I was confronted at work. I was told, you need to get McCarty back in the podcast.
Well, because Post-haste. McCarty brought strippers to the party. That's
he
what
did.
Happened.
Yes, I did.
This is true.
So,
yeah. Also, I think it's well known that you talk video games, and we got a really good response the last time we talked about video games in the podcast.
Which I cannot talk about video games this week because the PlayStation Network is still down.
Oh.
Yep.
Kind of kills me inside. And for some reason, even games that are offline, I'll still put them in, and I just find them boring because I cannot jump online and bash 12-year-olds and tell them that they're noobs. And just, I don't know. I can't believe it. I've read reports, by the way, that at least in England, that's where the reports were going in, is that the resale of PS3s is skyrocketing, that people are basically 4-to-1 turning in PlayStation 3s and buying Xboxes and a copy of Black Ops as well.
Yeah, that's what I've seen.
It's, oh, wow. Oh, I mean, it's a month! It's a month! How can that happen? It's
wait,
Sony.
Wait. So, I haven't been paying attention to this. So, bring it to speed. So
this is what happens.
It's
okay?
Been down for a month?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Went down a month ago. Got the email saying my credit card's been stolen. Got the email. It's ridiculous. And basically, all this stems from... I'm going to get myself some stuff right now.
Okay.
It stems from a bunch of hackers, basically. So, this is what happens. Geohan says this. Basically, what happened was down the road... PlayStation used to give you a lot of freedom. You can, in fact, install other operating systems on PlayStation 3. So let's say you wanted to have the most popular Linux on your PlayStation 3. You can actually download it and run your PlayStation 3 as a computer. That's all impressive. Well, because people were installing Linux and doing bad things with it, they decided to do it. So that was the thing. PlayStation Network. So started doing nerdy hackers like from 1996 rollerblading into buildings and hacking stuff. And so basically they ended up hacking and got into the credit card information. So Sony shut the entire thing down and they're rebuilding it from scratch. And it's been a month now and we cannot go online with our PlayStations. However, they will still let us access Netflix at least. So
thank God for that.
So I have two $400 Netflix machines in my house right now, which is kind of pissing me off.
Two different ways to watch Too Fast, Too Furious on Stars Play. Oh.
I know what you're talking about, the Stars Play. I caught it and I almost watched it. I went, wait, no. Lauren said, no, I'm going to hate myself for this. So
I mean, you can watch whatever you want on Stars Play. Just be aware that what you're watching is not correct.
Like Easy A.
Well, you said, was Easy A Stars Play?
Yeah, it was Stars Play. And I didn't mind it, but I was watching on my computer screen, and I was like, 5 feet away, so it might be different than watching on a TV.
Somebody said to me once, they said, I don't care if a comedy isn't in Blu-ray or high def.
Right.
I agree with that.
And I can stick with that, but as long as I can hear the jokes.
Right.
Well, really quick, this is what the Lauren and Fritz podcast is all about.
For those just joining us.
We're about going on random tangents.
We are about tangents.
And that's what we do, mainly about music, movies, video games, and catch you up to speed in case you missed the last one, 40. You can go download that one. I know it's still up on iTunes, but last time on the Lauren and Fritz podcast, we talked about if we could have a dream concert, if we could have basically a big festival in honor of Lollapalooza, what bands would we have?
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren just dropped the ball completely.
Well, I basically set mine up and I'm like, that's pretty good. And then I did other stuff. And you really sat down and were like, okay, this has to be the best thing ever. And what you have, which I'm looking at right now, and which we talked about last week, Toadies, Local H, Mastodon, Eagles of Death Metal, Clutch, Silver Sun Pickups, Queens of Stone Age, Deftones, and then Soundgarden doing a legacy set of Super Unknown front to back. I can't really touch that. I would, I'm not a big Silver Sun Pickups person, but at the same time, that's pretty airtight.
That's
as airtight
Silver
as they
Sun's
get.
We can debate that one.
Listen, everybody's got to go to the bathroom at some point. So I guess I can go to the bathroom after Clutch and before Queens.
So we got to put McCartney on here now. McCartney, since you're here, do you have any, like, if you had a dream lineup? Off the cusp, you know, top four or five, three, even whatever you got, what would you have?
Well, I hadn't put any thought into it, but I would say, totally unrealistically, New Order coming back together.
That is insanely unrealistic, and I enjoy it.
And then Radiohead being there, and probably Depeche Mode.
Well, you know what? If you got New Order back together, I think Radiohead and Depeche Mode would show up.
Yeah.
Just as fans.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, you guys want to play too?
Since we're all hanging out and everything. Really? Tom York, could you strap on that guitar?
There you go.
So that's what we were talking about last week. This week, though, we're completely changing gears, though. We do have some movies and music, but mainly it's all about the comics.
It's Comic-Con weekend.
Now, Lauren and McCarty are comic book fans. Me, on the other hand, Fritz, I'm not the... I can't say that I've read a comic ever. But,
really? Ever?
I have a collection of them from my dad, but I used to read old Tales from the Crypt, and I had some amazing Spider-Man, but never really did much for me, okay. I guess. I mean, I'm not opposed to comic books. Right. I really enjoy the movies, but I'm not a big reader in the first place.
Right.
So that would be why. But so Comic-Con, it was in Novi.
It was in Novi. Last year, if you remember last year's podcast where we talked about it, last year was insane. Last year was amazing. Last year we met Eric Roberts,
yep.
And he was so cool. And so that kind of set the bar, like, for any sort of, like, celebrity interaction we would have at Comic-Con. Eric Roberts is the bar that you have to beat. There was no one that we were as excited to see this year, though there were a lot more people to see, some of them including Dean Stockwell, Ernie Hudson, Dirk Benedict, Brent Spiner.
Hudson's pretty cool.
Ernie Hudson is very cool.
Yeah.
He had a consistent line the entire time we were there.
I believe it. I'd want to get Winston's photograph.
For sure. We ended up, but we did, who else? I know I'm missing
George somebody. Takei was
George
there.
George Takei had a giant line.
Yeah.
Giant line. But everybody, the thing that...
Isn't he gay?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. Star Trek, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's
yeah.
even married.
He's married and he's gay.
Yeah. Good for him.
Good yeah. for him.
Not to a woman, though, right?
No.
Okay, good for him. Good for him.
Extra good for him. Yeah. Actually, that would be sad for him, man. How are you? Well, I'm fine, but you don't touch me. But it was the way we work it is we walk in and we kind of stroll through all the comic aisles and slowly make our way over to, you know, where all the celebrities are set up, signing things and taking pictures. And just this year, we realized that none of us have read any of the comics we bought last year at all. And so I think early on, McCarty went up to like a long box to flip through it. And you said, like, I'm just not feeling going through just boxes of comics right now. I've got I don't really have a list of anything I'm looking for. I mean, you were looking for like one like series and you asked like two people. And then after that, you're like, I don't even care anymore.
One person
was, yeah, there's one person. Huh. So that, you know, that so we just kind of, we weren't really feeling that. It was more just, you know, what people are there to see, just more of like the experience, the ambiance. We went with our friend Ryan, and so McCarty did though get some things signed by Jeff Darrow,
yes.
who's an artist. He actually most famously did storyboards for all the Matrix movies.
Yeah, all the Matrix. Yeah,
yeah. And also you got you got things signed and you got a sketch from Howard Chaykin.
Right. Who is one of my favorite artists and I was very excited about seeing him.
And Howard Chaykin, I didn't get to talk to him. You talked to him.
Yeah.
Super, super cool.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Like just straight.
Swears a lot. And
there you go. That, you know, you can tell he's an old school dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is always good.
I find it surprising, though, because I always think, like, if I was put in that situation, if I was a celebrity and I had a bunch of nerds just drooling over me in line.
Thank you for not mincing words.
Yeah. And what? By the way, what's the price? What's the price?
What did you... Yeah, what
it
did
was,
you...
It was... So, I mean, signatures were free, and...
Signatures were free? I thought normally that was, like...
Oh, no. With
for, like, media people.
For media
people. Like, comic people.
Comic people were free.
Generally, like, free. Yeah.
They'll sign anything for free. Huh. Sketches will cost you something,
yeah.
And...
That was 30.
Yeah. And was it 20 for a photo? That's what I remember.
For like media people too.
Yeah. I know like different people at different prices. Like, right. Ernie Hudson was 25 for a photo.
Right.
Ian Ziering was there. He was 25 for a photo.
I mean, you could easily drop, quite a bit of coin.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But in comparison last year, Eric Roberts was
five
apiece. So we got three pictures. We got four pictures with him because he was goofing around with Ryan.
Yeah.
They were buddies.
But yeah, the bottom was $10 we saw.
$10.
Like, that was the cheapest price we saw for a picture.
So that must be the incentive, though, because what I was getting at is how you can sit there and have to take, you know, hundreds of photographs. It would be so boring. And having to hear everyone's band, I love you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Well, it's interesting is that, I don't know, I walk around, you see, and there are certain people who I think are just kind of built for that and just have a good temperament
and a
presence. And then you can just tell every single person they're, like, listening. And then there are some people that look a little bored, and also I'll just get to this. We're walking around and we see Dean Stockwell's table, and earlier we had run into a friend of Ryan's, and she had told us that she had seen Dean Stockwell in like the green room, and he was with this like small goth girl, and she thought that was really kind of strange, like, doesn't he have like a wife or a girlfriend or whatever? And so we see Dean Stockwell's table. We see the small goth girl, and there's no one there. And then this guy walked by me, and I didn't pay him any mind because he looked kind of hobo-y. And then he sat down at Dean Stockwell's table because it was Dean Stockwell. And Dean Stockwell, my first impression was this man just came from a mine shaft. He looked grimy.
Yeah, Ryan kept repeatedly saying that. Yeah. Dean Stockwell looks filthy.
Looks filthy. And he looked filthy. He looked tired. And it really stopped us cold. Like, we didn't know. We were like, oh my God. And then at one point somebody was talking to him and he was staring just like kind of off into the distance, kind of into the ground.
Yeah.
And then the one that put us over, though, that we had to walk away, the goth girl like turned to him and was talking to him and then combed his hair. And we were like, what is going on? Yeah. We've got to keep walking. So we kept walking. And then the pretty much antithesis of Dean Stockwell was Ian Ziering, most famously from 90210 in the 90s. That man looked great. He was luminescent.
You guys are painting a very dreary picture.
I'm sorry if I don't want to that.
I'm just picturing McCarty going, nah, I don't want to look at these comics. And then a bum walks by and you're like, oh, that's a celebrity. And some weird goth girl's combing his hair. And everyone's very somber.
It was a good vibe. I mean, we had a super fun time.
Oh, yeah.
We were joking and laughing. I mean, I made a joke.
I'm glad you clarified, because that's not the picture I'm sorry.
We probably painted it. No, we had a really fun time joking and laughing, whatever. We just weren't really like feeling like looking at comics so much. I mean, we still looked at comics. We weren't really feeling like digging through long boxes. Although, don't get me wrong, we said that and still dug through long boxes. It was more, you know, it's like, you know, like, I'm a heroin addict. I don't want to do any more heroin as I'm doing more. Yeah, I don't want to look through more long boxes. But let's look through a couple more of these.
Maybe we'll
you never
find
know.
Something.
Yeah. We didn't buy, I think this was like the lowest amount of stuff I've ever bought, though.
I didn't buy any comics.
You didn't buy any
comics?
Just
the sketch and the thing you already done for a comic.
Yeah, and I bought a trade and two t-shirts. I got a Frisky Dingo t-shirt, which I bought Rachel last year, and I liked it so much I wanted to get one for myself. And also I bought a Death Clock t-shirt, which has the avatar of Murderface on the front, and then on the back it says, I'd rather die than go to heaven. That was one, you took it up and it was like a group consensus. Everyone's like, that's a great shirt. Yes. You have to buy it right away.
I'm looking at this and it looks like you guys went on the wrong day.
Yes.
It says what's going on Saturday and Sunday. And Sunday only has two events.
No. Sunday's both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it keeps going.
Why actually, is there a lot of kids Star Wars costume contests?
Oh no, I think you're just looking at the 501st Legion schedule. That's
five
just then.
First.
Yeah, we actually walked in. Like we were like, "Hey, what's going on in this room?" And it was like a bunch of guys dressed up as like stormtroopers and Boba Fett, and they were like sitting at the panel, and people were they're like, "Any other questions?" And some guy raised his hand, and I was like, "We got to get out of here right now. We cannot stay here." But
at any moment, a who shot first debate is going to pop up.
You know that
moment.
that's going to happen.
Han, Greedo, no.
So,
oh, wow. That reminds me. There was a slave Leia woman, but she had a giant like Star Wars mural tattoo on her back.
Ooh.
So it was kind of weird to see.
I was
Princess
gonna
Leia
ask
with
about
a giant
the,
tattoo.
I was gonna ask about the cosplay because that's one of the more entertaining
you
aspects.
Know,
and how does the Detroit Comic Con or the Motor City Comic Con live up to the cosplay?
Cosplay is okay.
It seemed less than what it has been, maybe.
It felt about the same to me.
Any
I mean,
Chun-Li's from Street Fighter?
No Chun-Li's.
No.
There was.
Sorry, I don't know why that.
I know you Whoa. Sounded like no Chun-Li's. The yeah. whole weekend was a failure.
You know what Fritz watches when his wife's gone.
But there was there was a woman, a very tall woman, who was dressed as the villain from Power Rangers. Whatever that character.
The cackling hen that's in the crystal orb thing.
No. The lady, she's got like. I don't know, it's just a brown,
giant like hair,
giant hair,
spike things like go things. Out
like
to
I'm
the
talking
sides
like when Power Rangers first started. I'm talking old school.
That's
Power
what
Rangers.
I'm thinking of. That's the only time I've ever known anything
yeah,
of Power Rangers.
I don't know. I don't remember the character's name. Anyway, there was a guy who's drunk Tony Stark, with two like iron ladies walking with him.
Yep.
And there was one lady who was I don't know what she was supposed to be. I think she was supposed to be Elektra. But she was essentially just walking around in like a red bathing suit, and she looked very uncomfortable and cold. I don't think you saw her. I think you were getting a signage,
right.
signing McCarty.
Right.
But I was talking to Ryan, and I'm like, that girl looks like her boyfriend was like, dress up as Elektra. It'll be awesome. And now she's like, I'm cold. I'm being ogled. I'm probably being felt up. I hate this. I hate this so much. Yeah, I don't know. Like, my cousin is the photographer for Marvel, and she's actually published at least, I'm aware she could correct me on this, at least one book of cosplay, people in cosplay conventions. And just looking through her pictures, I mean, people get pretty intense at some of the bigger cons. I didn't see anything. I mean, I guess there was the Deadpool, Lady Deadpool, Stealth Deadpool, Rocketeer
right.
group.
Rocketeer was pretty good.
Full
Rocketeer and jetpack and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It makes you proud that that's from Detroit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I take that back. I don't know if I felt proud about it. I admired his ingenuity and
yeah.
willingness to go all the way with it.
You guys are not
I'm sorry.
The prettiest picture of this Comic Con. You're not winning me over.
I guess we're a little tired. But honestly, the Dean Stockwell thing like totally blew our minds. Yeah, I can't get over that.
But my favorite moment with the media people, the guests, was a woman that we like vaguely recognized, and we were trying to figure out who it was.
Oh, yes.
We realized she's the woman from Commando.
Yeah, Ray Dawn Chong.
Yeah, Chong.
Who's Tommy Chong's daughter.
Yeah, the romantic lead in
Commando.
Commando.
Yeah, the black girl, right?
Yeah. She was
Wow.
there. She was there.
So then at one point we're standing there, you know, talking about Commando or something. Like we had just realized she's from Commando, and she's standing up and like getting her picture taken with someone, like her back's to us, and then she turns around, stares right at us and waves and is like, "Hi." And then we all like
remember when he had those two machetes in the shed and that was sweet.
Yes.
Remember when he said, "Cool off, Bennett," and he stabbed him with the thing? She's like, "Yeah, I remember that."
Well, that's like you said, like that you get that feeling that that's like every single person coming up, like Dirk Benedict, you were in A-Team. Do you remember that time, Mr. T? Yes.
Remember that time everyone else did anything that you didn't?
Yes. Right. Let's talk about the things that Hannibal did in Murdoch.
Yeah, and that reminds you too of that Cindy Williams was there, and at one point Dirk Benedict had left his table and was like looking like he was hitting on her.
Yeah. Which we were like, hey.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Gotta do what you gotta do. I gotta say, Dirk Benedict.
He'll be on this tour for a long time, baby.
I gotta say, Dirk Benedict has an incredible head of hair.
Yeah.
Like, that guy.
Remember
yeah.
we had some good times in San Diego.
No, we had a good time. I mean, I guess we just didn't buy as much stuff, which really is not a bad thing. You know.
No.
As long as you got something. I mean, you got the pictures to take away from it. I mean, what more can he ask for?
Literally, I have just tons of pictures of, I have pictures of McCarty getting getting stuff signed and a sketch done.
I thought you were going to say lap dance, but
no, no, I don't have any pictures of that. I'm so sad about it.
Not allowed.
Stripper
Not
cons allowed. Next month.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure McCarty's going to get me back at my bachelor party. I don't even know what to expect, which is for the best. Now I'm nervous all of a sudden. But Comic-Con is fun. I mean, we'll definitely go again next year. Who knows? We might actually read some of the comics. Now that we didn't buy a whole lot of comics at this one, that'll give us time to catch up. And be able to go back next year and actually buy things. But the last thing we want to talk about I went right when we got in. I went and used the restroom. I come out of the restroom and our friend Ryan comes up and he goes, "Hey, do you remember Becky Black from high school?" And I said, "Yeah." And he's like, "She's right there." So I turn, I look, I make eye contact, and he's like, "Oh, I didn't talk to her." And I was like, "Jesus Christ, Ryan. Okay." And then it occurred to me like halfway through that Ryan went to prom with this girl. So then I'm like, "Well, you need to talk to her." So we kept coming around and I kept trying to insinuate and he never did. So we walked by this girl like 5 times and I made eye contact with her right away. So I'm certain she recognized me because she at least had to remember me as the loud guy from high school. But he never talked to her. But then I'd say 10 minutes before we left and the last time before we tried to get Ryan to say hi to her again, we realized that her name is Rebecca Black. And we're like, "Oh my God, that's insane." You know, and then I'm sure she's not sick of hearing about that either, you know, which I'm sure would have made the conversation even more awkward if Ryan had even had it to begin with, which he didn't.
"It's so nice to see you. Did you choose the front seat or the back seat?" I just wanted to know. Because exactly. That's the question on everybody's mind.
Everybody's mind. So that was Comic-Con. To summarize, Dean Stockwell, not looking too great. Mm-hmm. Ian Ziering looked fantastic. I cannot stress that enough. I almost got a picture with him, but it was $25, and I couldn't justify it. But, yeah. No. I mean, yeah. Oh, Erica Alaniak was there, and we kind of wanted to talk to her about Seagal, but we figured that she gets that all the time. And so then we started, like, thinking, like, man, like, they should have a Seagal convention or something where Seagal shows up and, like, talks and signs. And that's as far as we got with it, but maybe we can work on that further, maybe develop it. Get it to actually happen. What do you think, McCarty?
I would wait in that line all day long.
There you go. Yeah, like something where he like you know, he'll like have like a fake TV and he'll pretend to smash your head through it or something. You know, we could have and he could give a talk, like different talks throughout the day, like my favorite bits of Overkill. This is a good idea. I'm gonna start writing stuff down. Yeah. You guys talk about yourselves. I got a lot of good ideas here. Okay. All right. So moving on, Fritz. I want to talk about you.
Moving this to me.
We're going to move this right to you because this is something I wanted to talk about like 3 podcasts ago. So you are not an active presence on the Facebook social network scene.
No, I do go on my Facebook, but I'm more of a...
You're a creeper, but you're not a poster.
Exactly, yeah. No, don't really see a need to post my feelings or thoughts on the old Facebook there.
Yes.
Largely because I don't like anyone.
There you go.
You know, yeah.
So one day, I see that you have not one, not two, but 3 posts on the Facebook. And they were 3 videos. We're hearing one now of you and your cat. Boy,
but he doesn't like Scrappy. Well, Scrappy's the one guy he does get along with, but poor Benson, he just doesn't like other cats.
And I'm watching this video and I'm hearing what you're saying. And
Scrappy, come on. So that's Benson.
I
was being a sweet boy until a second ago. He was cuddling up and everything. So he's a sweet cat. Just doesn't, as you can see, get along with the other guys. So, see, he comes up and he wants to cuddle with everything.
Oh, Lord.
And I had to say, like, I watched this video. I watched it twice. And I was like, well, first time I watched it, I'm like, should I be seeing this? And I'm like, I got to watch it again. And I'm like, yeah, he's doing the voices. And I cannot figure out why you posted this video. I mean, it's adorable. But I don't know, like you were just like, I want to post about my cats.
Oh.
It struck me as a weird thing to kind of break your long Facebook silence with. Like everyone's wondering, what's Andrew Fritz up to?
Oh, weirdy, beardy, beardy.
I'm hanging out with my cats.
Okay, my face is red beyond belief at this moment. This is my first time actually hearing this video because I got an Android phone, so I've realized that I'm able to record and then instantly upload to YouTube. So this has been a new thing in my life, is to upload to YouTube, largely because my wife is out of town on business.
Right.
And so to catch her up to speed, show her things that are going on around the house, I've uploaded to YouTube. Now, it's a long story that goes back. Basically, we had someone dump a cat off on us because I am kind of a sucker and I love cats. What
there
can
you
I
go.
Say? So I have I currently have four cats right now. Three of them are...
Wait, were there four cats in this house?
Yeah. So three of them are technically mine. And then basically my wife's good friend had a cat and basically needed to get rid of it. And I'm like, well, okay. She wanted to take it to a shelter and where it would be euthanized. And I'm like, no. Can't.
You're a cat lover. And then you're like, listen, we're just going to kill this cat later. I can see you like literally jumping in front of the door like a cat.
No. Well, I can't let a cat die. So basically what it was I, out of the kindness of my heart, I took in this cat, and it doesn't get along with my other cats. So basically I'm in this desperate mood now to get rid of this cat because I'm stuck with it. And I had a friend at work who said, hey, Fritz, I tell you, I'll help you out. I'm in the same boat. I never want to see a cat die, but I'm in a bit of a better situation than you are. I might be able to take the cat in, but is there any way you can post some videos and some pictures? Let me see what the cat looks like before I eventually take the cat in. So that's what ended up happening in this video, but probably the funniest part is I posted the video to show her what the cat looks like, and I posted all these videos just like she asked, and I sent her a message, and she hasn't responded.
Oh, no.
So now, as it's hitting me right now, I realize I've simultaneously made a complete ass of myself by using my baby talk in front of a cat, and now I'm stuck with a cat that fights with my other cats that now I baby talk to when no one else is around. So yeah, that's the story. I told you it wasn't very exciting.
I enjoyed that story.
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah, and also
I'm a cat person.
You know, and also you know, who's not going to enjoy a story about somebody who like, hey, doesn't want to kill an animal?
That's right.
You know.
I mean, I but yeah. So now I'm stuck with a cat, and the kicker of the story is my wife is now returning in 14 days. And I kind of promised her when she left that I would get rid of the cat.
Oh no!
And that was my only plan, and now I'm out of ideas. So if anyone wants a cat,
any listeners want a cat
named Benson who likes to be baby talked to, you can email us at laurenandfritz@gmail.com.
laurenfritz@gmail.com.
Please, dear God, attention, for the love of God,
attention Benson. We'll mention that at the end of this podcast.
He's
as well,
just doesn't get along with other animals. So if you are looking for a cat who is an only cat, then yeah, I'm screwed.
All right.
So back to comic books now to get the pressure off of me.
Okay.
I guess we'll continue with the theme because I'm quite curious as the start of the summer blockbusters is here.
Yes.
Thor.
Well, I think Fast Five kind of kneecapped Thor a bit. For one, because Fast Five was awesome. And if you haven't seen it yet, McCarty, need to go see Fast Five.
Eventually.
Okay. I'm glad it's on your eventually list. I'm glad it's not a no, I'm not seeing
it. It's hard for another Fast and Furious movie to be high up on anyone's to-do list.
Let
but
me tell
apparently
you,
America it, has
it's,
made
it's,
it.
It's the best one, and not even like a Diminished Returns best one. Like it's an actual good movie. Vin Diesel thinks it's a best picture. honestly, he thinks he could get in there, and
that and Triple X. But
You know what though? There are 10 nominations for Best Picture now.
Yeah,
it's not that hard to believe anymore.
Hmm.
You know, The Blind Side got nominated for Best Picture. Think about that.
Ugh.
So
yeah,
if The Blind Side can get nominated, then Fast Five totally.
Now I've not seen Thor. You're the only one in this room who has seen Thor.
I am the only person.
Now I'm going to tell you my preconceived notions.
Give me your
going
preconceived notions.
Is that I feel that the character who plays Thor,
or the actor who plays Thor,
yes,
okay,
actor who plays Thor, who is
Chris Hemsworth.
Now that's not a name that is prevalent in my mind as a famous actor.
No,
but I'll tell you what, the man looks a lot like Thor.
He does.
I must say, when I saw it, I go, "Ooh, you know what? That's a case where the casting department did it before the actual skills, because whenever I saw him acting and acting as Thor, I never in the previews really believed it for some reason. He kind of looks like a pretty face, and then basically they just put some really good special effects behind it. So me going into it, I'm sitting there going, I don't think the character of Thor is going to steal my heart and become an unlikely comic book. You know, like how Iron Man, no one thought, you know, Tony Stark was like this big role model, and all of a sudden everyone loves Tony Stark.
Right.
Didn't feel like I was going to get that with this movie.
Well, the actors are easily the best part. Like they cast this movie, I would say, perfectly. All of the choices are great.
Okay, that was my fear.
Chris Hemsworth is fine as Thor. Everyone's good, but there's the script is, I don't want to say flimsy garbage, but I'll just go with flimsy, and some of it is garbage. I mean, it's one of those things where you sit there and you're like, you're giving the movie the benefit of the doubt. And then there's a scene where a character says, "We can't do that. It's treason." And then the other character says, "No, it's suicide." And end scene. And
it sounds like it goes with the token black guy from Fast Five, quite honestly.
Yeah, you know, Mission Insane, to Mission Impossible to Mission in Freaking Sanity. No, the problem is that Thor ultimately feels like a movie they made so that we all know who Thor is when Avengers comes out next year. That is what the movie is like. Hmm. It doesn't have a compelling story. Thor is inherently a rich white guy, which, you know,
another planet.
He's a god. The movie makes it seem like he's sort of like an alien, but not really.
So he came from a frat house from another dimension.
But he's really just a, you know, I mean, on that planet, he's a prince. He's going to be king. He's always been a prince. He's got all these powers. He's got his hammer. He can travel across the galaxy. He's
what are you doing here on Earth? My dad has a dealership.
Yes. Yeah, basically he's
Aqua Teen Hunger Force, if you're
man,
not familiar.
That episode is much better than Thor. and much shorter. Thor was not a terrible movie. It just, I got restless a lot and felt that I'd seen everything that was happening. I was always one step ahead of the movie, and not in a good way, of just like, okay, I know what's gonna happen. And then sometimes I would be able to predict what was going to happen, and then maybe like a little less would happen. A lot of this movie has Thor just kind of being a jerk, but not like a real jerk, like just sort of like a PG-13 jerk. And then he's not interesting enough as a character to really carry a movie. And you know, they surround him with other characters to kind of pad it out. But it's like, you know, you could watch, and Lord knows we have. I mean, first Iron Man, you don't even need him to get into the armor, and that movie works.
No.
Like him getting into the armor. The first Iron Man movie, when he gets in the armor, the movie is not as good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
really,
you just want Robert Downey Jr. to walk around and be funny and be cool and just say stuff. And in this movie, the action scenes are okay. I mean, it's a lot of the same tricks you've seen before. But I know some people who lost their shit because he does stuff that he did in the comic. And I'm like, well, of course he does stuff he did in the comic. If he didn't, that'd be kind of ridiculous. But, I mean, that's not what the whole... I mean, Thor spinning his hammer the same way he does in the comic for 30 seconds, that still doesn't make up for the other hour and a half of movie I'm sitting through.
I mean, it's pretty far down the laundry list. I mean, the big names, the Batmans, the Spider-Man, Superman, all that has already been done.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it seems like we're at the bottom of the barrel.
Right.
I mean, Thor, Green Lantern now, not your forefront runners.
This summer, if you really want to think about it, this summer is very a bottom of the barrel like movie. I mean, well, with the exception of Captain America, that's kind of a long time coming.
Yeah.
Captain America has always been like an A-list in my mind.
Okay.
But I mean, yeah, with your Green Lantern, with your Thor.
Although Green Lantern does have a pretty big cult following.
He does have a following, but
thanks to the Big Bang Theory and things
like
that
too.
Yeah, I the only thing with Green Lantern though is that Hal Jordan sucks, and he's always sucked. But there are people who Hal Jordan.
I mean, it's most of the characters of this time, like, well, even Steve Rogers is Captain America. He's kind of boring too.
Steve Rogers, I find that he is always, I mean, I'm a big Captain America guy. Yeah. I've been reading Captain America for a long time. And obviously, you know, Steve Rogers and any character is only as good as the person writing him.
Right. Yeah.
And,
that's true.
And also how little editorial interference you have.
Right.
So I've read a lot of really good Captain America. I've never really read any very good Hal Jordan.
Right.
Green Lanterns.
Who's the other? It's Hal Jordan. Who's the other guy? There was the black Green Lantern.
He's John Stewart.
John Stewart. Yeah, that's what I was thinking
Guy
of.
Guy Gardner was the.
And then Kyle.
Kyle Rayner.
Yes.
Kyle Rayner, who is. And the I best. Guess this is a controversial. Yeah, but he's the best Green Lantern. Like, easily. Easily relatable.
I've never read a Green Lantern, and I've heard that. So
yeah. It's also because Grant Morrison was writing
Grant
him.
Morrison was writing him. So, yeah. So, that's also another reason why Kyle Rayner is the best Green Lantern, is that he had a really good writer behind him.
Yeah.
But just in general, Kyle Rayner was relatable and interesting and dealt with the insane scenarios that he did with like
and,
a person.
And he was an artist, so and that was, makes mm-hmm. sense for the character.
Yeah. So... So yeah. So like when Kyle Rayner is Green Lantern, we're totally not even talking about Thor anymore.
Yeah.
When Kyle Rayner was Green Lantern and he was attacked by, say, angels from heaven, and he would go, "This is crazy," and then he would make them fight green devils because that's funny to him and that's interesting. While Hal Jordan would just hit them with a big green
fist.
Yeah,
make a fist. Yeah.
That was Hal Jordan style. He has like the most powerful weapon in the universe, and he's like, "I'm gonna hit you with a green fist." That's Hal Jordan for you. So, I mean...
But the new trailer.
The new trailer is very good. Because he's got a he's got a green machine gun,
yeah.
Which we can all be excited about. And also, Martin Campbell directed Casino Royale, which was awesome. And so, I have to... he also did direct Edge of Darkness, which, as I understand, is like the worst movie ever. Is that the general consensus?
No.
Pretty terrible movie? Oh, you've seen it?
That is the Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas.
No.
Edge of Darkness.
Edge of Darkness is Mel Gibson.
No, I didn't see that.
This is a great tangent.
That can be the worst.
This is a great tangent we're on.
Ghost in the Darkness. That's
Ghost in the Darkness. That, as I understand, that's bad too.
Was that but not the worst.
Not the worst. No, well, it can't be. Val Kilmer's in it.
Yes.
If Val Kilmer's in it, it's got to be
Fighting Lions.
Kind of good. Yeah. So. But anyway, back to Thor.
Thor won't get that at any other podcast. If Val Kilmer's in it, it must be good.
Yes. Yeah. I think I can stand by that statement. Yeah, for sure. Spartan, get out of town.
Oh,
Spartan's
yeah.
amazing. But anyway, no, going back to Thor, though. The problem with Thor is just it's kind of cheap looking a lot. There's a lot of scenes set in a New Mexico town. It looks like they just propped up walls.
What you said about Natalie Portman was funny. After he takes his shirt off.
Oh, yeah. Thor shows up and they like hit him with a car. And it's all, ha-ha, you hit a hobo. And then of course, as you would with any hobo, you keep trying to find him after you take him to the hospital and keep bringing him to your house. So they bring him to, and he takes a shower, and he comes out, and he's got no shirt on, and he is ripped. And Kat Dennings' character, who, I don't know if you all know who Kat Dennings is. Are you familiar with Kat Dennings?
Mm.
Google Kat Dennings right now. you should specifically Google the outfit she wore to the premiere of Thor.
Yeah.
Kat Dennings is banging. Kat Dennings is amazing looking, and I like that Kat Dennings thong came up as a recommendation. let's see just what comes up here when you
excuse us as we're Googling.
Yeah, we're Googling here. Here, click the second one. Kat Dennings busting out on the Thor red carpet. That's the one.
I'm getting excited.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my internet. I think I'm getting throttled right now because I do a lot of downloading.
And they're like, you will see Kat Dennings on the right. See what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, in Thor, she is wearing many layers and she has a stocking cap on. They do everything in their ability to tamp all this down. So to not distract from the Natalie Portman action.
In case you don't have access to Google, there's a lot to tape down on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot.
So they have to de-glam Kat Dennings, which then I have to wonder, like, okay, I think she's a good actress. I think she's a funny presence. So I mean, I can see why they hired her, but at the same time, you know, it's. I'm sorry.
So Google has led us.
Oh my god!
Bikini-clad Kim Kardashian for some reason.
Anyway. Yeah. So anyway, but Natalie. So anyway, she comes out. Thor comes out. He doesn't have a shirt on, and Natalie Portman's look on her face is holy shit. I've got to fuck this guy like right away. That is the that is the look on her face. And then that's the look on her face for the rest of the movie. Anytime she's talking to him, she could be discussing plot points or whatever her character's career is, but she still will look at him with this like, oh shit, this guy's hot. I got to, oh man, before he goes back to being whatever it is, if he's a crazy hobo or not, I got to bang this guy. And at the end of the movie, she realizes he has to leave and go back to Asgard or whatever. And so she gives him this kiss that is hardcore. Like, she basically, like, fucks his mouth with her mouth. Like, just hard, like, tons of tongue, and it's a long kiss. Like, I was sitting there like, oh, my God, they're really going. Like, she is letting him know. She is planting a literal seed in his mind. Like, you've got to come back to Earth and bang. Okay? I mean, I'm sure it's really good in Asgard, you know, and they really know who you are, but you got to come back.
But bring the hammer, baby.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Hot.
Yeah, you got to bring the hammer. Yeah. And
at Comic-Con, it's going to be awesome.
And it's funny, at the end of the movie, you know, he's only known Natalie Portman for 48 hours in the movie time. And he, this is a spoiler, but I mean, he like can't go back to Earth initially. And so it's like, you know, you cannot go back to her. And it's like, he's only known this chick for like 48 hours. But when you consider like the signal she was throwing across and the fact that they didn't really ever have any downtime to do it, that, you know, he's like, I gotta get back there. That chick's ready to go. All right. So that's probably gonna be at some point in the Avengers, you know, Natalie Portman's gonna show up. She's gonna be like, oh hey. And he was like, hey. And then there'll be like whatever their mission is, like, Thor, we gotta do this. And we'll be like, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I'm a god. So I've got stamina. that's my thoughts on Thor. I didn't think it was very good.
Thor only needs 15 minutes. That's what we
all he
about
needs.
Thor.
That's all we need about Thor. I mean, it was a movie that could have been a lot better. But
in my planet, that's a long time.
Yeah, so that's basically where I have with that. Oh, and there's a Hawkeye cameo that is complete
Ooh, really?
Utter bullshit.
Oh,
because it's tacked in. You can tell that they inserted it into the movie. It was a reshoot, and basically they give Hawkeye a bow and arrow, and he doesn't shoot anybody with it. I know.
So this movie is just a prequel for the Avengers. In other
if
words,
that it's a pretty limp prequel.
I haven't heard. Is he like in a purple?
Oh no!
Costume.
Oh no! Just, oh no! No no!
It's Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner. He grabs. Well, they give you the scene where you see a hand kind of decide, do I grab or grab a gun? Grab a gun.
No,
oh shit! Bow and arrow. And the moment he grabs it, I'm like, oh shit! Hawkeye's in this, and he's got his bow and arrow. He's got to shoot somebody. No, he didn't shoot anybody with it. He holds it out and he's like, let me know when I should shoot somebody. And the guy's like, don't shoot anybody. And he's like, okay. And then and he's up in a crane, and then they cut away and we never come back to him. So as far as I know, Hawkeye is still in that crane waiting for instructions. So I'm sure that's where we'll find him in the Avengers movie.
That's how it opens.
2012 is him up there with his pee bucket.
Can I shoot yet?
The Avengers. The Avengers. Maybe that's the running gag to the whole movie, is that Captain America and Iron Man are running around having the best time, beating people up. It's so awesome being an Avenger. Cut to maybe I'll get to shoot somebody today. No, probably not.
Just crickets at night.
Crickets
just
at night.
Now.
No. I'm with the hope that they are treating the Avengers movie with a little better budget and more thought. Yeah.
I didn't have high hopes for Thor, and I'm
yeah,
glad
Thor is eminently skippable. I would, yeah, you can Netflix that shit.
I mean,
yep,
there's nothing
sure.
really else
you
coming
could
out.
Stars play it. Nah, I said
it. I mean,
it.
What are the summer blockbusters? Because we're looking at the movie trailers. What are these summer blockbusters?
Well,
there's
I mean,
Cars
as you can,
2.
Cars yeah. 2, because there are a lot of unexplained things at the end of Cars. let's see. Well, Horrible Bosses. I mean, well, we're going to talk about big blockbusters. Captain America, Green Lantern, those are the ones that are going to make the moolah.
Right.
As they say.
Hopefully X-Men First Class. Which
X-Men
we're
First
about.
Class. Super excited for that. Are you excited for X-Men First Class?
I got to admit that I've never watched any of the X-Men movies.
You've never seen any of the X-Men movies?
No.
That is very surprising to me.
I own them. They're in the next room. But for some reason, no.
You've never seen the X-Men movies.
This is... Lauren, okay. T- Tangent here. Okay.
We're not really talking about anything right now, so this is a real topic. Right?
No, this is something tangent. That I did the other day, is thanks to Netflix, I watched a movie by myself the other day.
You don't normally do this?
No, I don't normally do this because I'm normally playing Call of Duty. But because of the PlayStation Network, to bring it back to the beginning of this conversation, I just sat there one day. I was in between classes and I said, you know what? I'm going to watch this movie. And it was a movie that for some reason years ago, I saw the preview for it and I went, this is going to be a really bad movie. But for some reason, I want to see it.
Oh, I've been there, man.
Oh, yeah. And you know it's going to be a bad movie. Uh-huh. And you know it's not funny. And the movie comes out and your friends tell you that movie, it ain't funny. Don't see it. Trust me. Don't see it. Just don't see it. And I sat there and I went, you know, okay, Netflix has it. And I clicked it and I watched it and I went, wow, this is really stupid. This is really stupid. And then it kept going on and I went, this is even dumber. Why am I watching? And next thing you know, the end credits are rolling. And I went, why did I just watch that? The Goods. Live free, sell hard.
Wow.
I forgot about that movie.
I forgot about that
you
movie.
You should have forgot about that stupid movie because I wasted an hour and a half of my life on that stupid movie. It's terrible. It's not funny. Will Ferrell pops up and does his stupid little Will Ferrell thing that he always does, like he's ruining The Office with right now. And for some reason, I wasted my time. There's hundreds of movies that we've talked about on this podcast that I've never seen that you have said are excellent movies.
Yes.
And instead, I sat there and wasted my damn time and watched The Goods.
You know what? It's our mutual friend Justin, he doesn't really do it anymore because I think he just, you know, he doesn't waste his time with us anymore like that. But he used to recommend a lot of movies to us, and you know, old classics and stuff, and we would, you know, I don't want to watch Dog Day Afternoon.
Well, I would.
You would, but I guess I shouldn't really even coop you into this.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would recommend stuff to us. I mean, we would go to the video store with him, and he'd be like, hey guys, we should get this. It's a classic. I've heard really good things. And I'm like, no, we are going to rent Wild Wild West. I heard it's really awful and we're going to watch it.
There's a spider thing.
Spider thing in it. And you know what? Maybe Will Smith will make a couple funny lines about his predicament, you know? And of course it's super awful. And after it's over, you're like, well, we watched it. Going back to though, the big blockbusters of the summer. Yeah. Basically X-Men First Class, Captain America,
Final Destination 5,
Pirates of the Caribbean make a lot of money.
Oh yeah,
The buzz on that is super terrible.
But people are fans, and
don't get me wrong, people
it's not gonna be good, but it's gonna make a lot of money.
Oh
so.
Yeah, for sure. Oh well, you're forgetting your favorite, your Transformers 3.
Yeah, that'll make money.
It's gonna make money.
I have come to the realization that I am a Transformers collector. Okay,
you're not a fan of the movies then.
I have not watched the second one more than once. I saw it in the theaters.
That's like self-preservation.
And I mean, I have Blu-ray. I got a 50-inch TV, high definition. I got all that stuff. I tried watching the second movie again. It cannot be done. And I have a shelf of Transformers. I love Transformers. I love the story. I love collecting the toys and everything like that. The first movie, I absolutely adore. The second movie, I cannot watch. As soon as the mom starts to eat the pop brownies, I turn it the fuck off because it's a bad movie. It's the same action scenes from the first movie with a whole bunch of drama stuff that I didn't want and didn't want to hear in the first place.
Yes.
And now they're replacing the drama because we had to put up with all that stupid drama with the stupid what's her name, because everyone forgot about her because no one likes her anymore. What's her name?
Let's stick with what's her name.
Oh, yeah,
like that. That's
name?
Funnier to me.
So what's her name is gone and they're replacing her with who's it's.
And yes,
and that
name?
Just means that I have to watch Sam Witwicky go through another love scene, and it took me two movies to develop the first one in the stupid first place that I didn't want to see, and now I got to watch it all over again. I do not want to see that. And I know it's going to be the same stupid action scenes. How many times can you see Optimus Prime fight someone in a major city? Oh, no, he knocked down an expressway. Oh, no. I've seen the trailers. I've been trying to keep up on it. And it's just, I truly believe that Michael Bay should have hung it up after the second one. I could tolerate Michael Bay for the first movie, but I can't tolerate Michael Bay anymore. And I can't imagine that he's going to resurrect it or make good for what happened in the last movie, anyone on this one at all.
That's the realest talk you've ever dropped on Transformers, man.
I'm just so disappointed. And I really tried, because I remember when we did it on the Lauren and Fritz podcast, I did praise Revenge of the Fallen. I thought it was an all right movie. But as I tried to watch it again the second time, everything you said to me sunk in. And I went, you know what? Lauren's goddamn right. Michael Bay sucks.
He does.
So, yeah,
The worst part is that Revenge of the Fallen isn't even the worst Michael Bay movie.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's Bad Boys 2. Bad Boys 2. That's all I got to say, man. Bad Boys 2, which is
we got to change the subject. We got to leave on a good note.
All right, we got to leave it. Well, I don't know if we're going to leave on a good note, but we will leave on a good note. Because I was going to talk about and have us watch the trailer for Real Steel, but we don't have to do that. Because that's not a way to end this podcast. So, but if you're feeling up and you want to bring yourself down a little bit, watch the trailer for Real Steel and realize it's a real movie that was made by adults. We'll stop on a high note. The new Sloan album came out on Tuesday. For those who aren't familiar with Sloan, they are the greatest band in the world.
Canadian.
Nope.
And this is their 10th album, not counting EPs, Double Lives, and Greatest Hits albums. And it continues the consistency of the fact that Sloan have never made a bad record and are now 10 strong.
I must say, all I know of the new Sloan album, because I haven't downloaded it or listened to it yet.
Yeah.
But when you were talking about it last week, I did go on YouTube and they had a couple of promotional videos up there where they were interviewing the band, talking about the album. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, you know, it's really amazing when you really do. They broke it down. You know, this is our 10th album. And when you think about how many bands have 10 albums and how many of those 10 albums have actually been consistently good, although not mainstream successful. Sloan really does make you think that they're
I mean it's one of those things where I know people like bands and listen to certain bands and they go, you know, like, this is my favorite band, but like if somebody were to go and sit there and be like, well, are they a great band though? They're like, well, you know, I have personal preference, you know what I mean? You know, and if you can hold up their discography and, you know, point at the holes and everything, but I really truly think Sloan's discography is as airtight as they come.
I mean, they're a simple rock band.
Right.
Motor City Maniacs is going to be the most favorite song, you know. Yeah. And the joke is, when he awoke, his bottle was covered in Coke Fizz. So, I mean, everyone knows that song.
Yes.
I mean, they've kind of kept with that, you know, kind of simplicity throughout a little bit. I mean, they have gotten experimental over the years, but... that's the thing, though, is they stuck with the formula, which is rare.
The funny thing is, when listening to this new album, which is great, and I would say it's they have a sound, it's consistent sound, but it's not stale and dull. It's a warm, welcoming sound that you want to hear. Like, oh, good. This is a Sloan song. I like these.
It does hark a little bit back to the Canadian thing of where it's not that new and exciting, but as far as an old rock staple, yeah, it's there. It's good. It's good.
I mean, it doesn't... Well, the thing is, I don't even think it doesn't even have like a retro vibe to it for me. Like, did you... Like, you know, it's not a throwback record or anything like that. It's just... This is what they sound like, and this is... And they're just consistently great. And, I mean, I don't know if you saw the one promo video where they talk to, like, different artists about their favorite Sloan records. Mm-mm. And that's just really just for me as someone who... I mean, I know... McCarty is a big Sloan fan, and our friend Justin is a big Sloan fan. But it's like, and Lauren likes the first five. She won't listen to anything past Between the Bridges. But that's her thing. That's Lauren's thing. But it's like, we've always been into the band. But it's like to see all these other, like, well, to me, they're bigger celebrities, like the guys from Broken Social Scene and Sebastian Granger from Death From Above, talking about, oh man, When One Chord to Another came out, what an incredible record. I'm like, I know, yeah, right,
too,
you know,
man.
And then they talk to one guy and he's like, man, all I do is listen to Navy Blues and Between the Bridges. Yes, yes. You know, so I mean, just for them to get that kind of lip service and respect is really great to me, because sometimes you feel like, you know, people are just walking around all the time going like, hey, that Lady Gaga is really blowing our doors off, man. Anyway, and I don't even hate Lady Gaga, but I'm just saying. That was the first name that came to mind of somebody who gets a lot of overpraise. Yeah, check out Boondock Saints 3, the new Lady Gaga video, by the way.
Can't say that I gave it any attention.
No.
So you need to go out and listen to Sloan. I mean, Lauren and Fritz podcast, you're going to listen to us. We have suggestion on albums that, again, we are... as soon as I talk to people, because I've been meeting a lot of new people at school and things like that, yeah. They're like, oh, I do a podcast. You know what I mean? I've been talking mm-hmm. to new people at work and stuff, and they're like, oh, what do you guys talk about? I'm like, well, we're kind of music snobs.
Right.
You know, we kind of sit there and we love bands until you've heard them, and then after you've heard them, we usually don't like them anymore.
Right.
But... I mean, that's.
I don't like them when they suck. That's when I stop liking bands.
But that's the thing. We come across as musical snobs overall. But the thing is we don't tolerate crap as far as when it comes to music, because we've heard a lot of music and we love it.
Yeah.
And Sloan is definitely one of those bands. Although I'm ashamed to say I only know a few Sloan albums.
They've got 10, so you know, and I'm a mega fan. So I mean, you know, I'm going to be a little more on top. That's the thing is, I mean, that's the thing I realize is sometimes is that if you're not a mega fan, sometimes an album will slip through the cracks for you, you know?
Right.
And also as adults, this is the thing. I think when I was growing up as a kid, I'd be like, how do these people not stay on top of this stuff? And it's like, well, dude, you don't have any fucking bills. That's why you're on top of all these records and know when all these comics come out and everything like that. And you can see every movie when it comes out the day of. But once you got bills and schedules and shit, you're not going to be seeing stuff and hearing stuff all the time.
Well, I can think of a couple.
So I sympathize is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, I can think of a couple other bands though, where it's like Local H, where you don't have to be a mega fan of Local H to appreciate any of their albums. Like I can pop in, like when 12 Angry Months came out, I was a little hesitant because I'm like, oh, they've been around for a while. I've been hurt by so many bands in the past.
Yeah.
But you still put in 12 Angry Months, and again, they didn't change the formula.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you can just love it. From the start, you think of, you know, Nirvana never had a bad album.
No.
Why
is that?
Don't ask me.
Yeah, Cardi doesn't like Nirvana. I was being more rhetorical about why they don't have any more albums. But anyway, I really shouldn't ask you, the guy who doesn't like Nirvana. But anyway.
Well, we would like to add Sloan to that list because I genuinely do believe that, although I haven't heard the new album yet, and that's because I'm in school and I've been reading.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know?
I look forward to listening to the Sloan album, and I think that's something that if you guys are out there, check out Sloan. I think you guys will really enjoy yourself.
I think it'll make you better people.
So we got a yep for Sloan.
Yes.
Yep.
A nope for Thor. Nope. Nope, nope, nope.
Yep for Comic-Con.
Yep for Comic-Con. I know we sounded down on it,
yeah.
But Comic-Con is always fun, and I can't recommend it enough. Oh, McCarty, mention real quick your 3DS.
Oh, yes.
What you were doing with it.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but you talk about it
right,
anyway.
Right, okay. So new Nintendo handheld 3DS, and it's... It can connect with other people's 3DSs, and it's just like real quick. If you're just walking down the street, it'll interact. So you just set up a little profile on your 3DS, make a little avatar on there, and if you have it turned on, just asleep, so it'll last for days. It'll
not the 3 to 5 hours if you're playing a game.
Yes, right.
Sorry,
right.
Criticism.
Oh yeah.
Oh snap.
No. I agree. And so I've been carrying around whenever I go to Royal Oak, Rochester Hills, Somerset Mall, and I've only gotten one so far in Rochester Hills, but I took it today and I got 12 people on it.
And
so
what did they say to you?
They mostly like dogs.
Yeah. It'll say like, my name is Steven and I like dogs.
To picture in my head 12 people at Comic-Con sitting in a corner with a 3DS playing and 10 dogs is not that surprising to me. But okay.
What was it though? We were standing in line. He pulls it out. He's like, I got one. Somebody's saying hello to me. And then a guy walks by and goes, oh shit, I forgot my 3DS. Yep. So great minds.
I could be talking about dogs too right now. Damn it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny that they're all going to say hi to you because you are a big cat guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So I think that ties it all up for another Lauren and Fritz podcast, number 41. McCarty, always a pleasure having you on.
Yep.
Thank you for driving me up to Port Huron so we could do this.
And Mancino's.
After. We're going to Mancino's right after this.
Oh, okay. You guys are still going? All right.
That's the icing on the podcast cake.
And that's if you're anywhere near, of course, Port Huron, Michigan. Don't recommend it usually, but if you're hungry, Mancino's is amazing. I think there's one in Lapeer, though, too. So.
Or if you're on the west side of the state.
Yeah.
Which is where I'm from.
Yeah. Mancino's, fantastic.
If you're in Pittsburgh, you're shit on a lot.
All right, so we're going to be out. I'm Fritz.
I'm Lauren.
And I'm McCarty.